That's the last time. Oh, I can do it tomorrow. Welcome, everybody. It's good to be here. It's good to be in air conditioning. Good morning, everyone. This meeting is called to order August 24th, 2011 at, I'm late, I apologize, 9:15 a.m. Before proceeding with any business, I believe Mr. Smith has a statement to make. Mr. Smith?
I do, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. A public notice of this meeting containing all items on the proposed agenda has been filed in the Office of the Secretary of State as required by Chapter 551 Government Code, referred to as the Open Meetings Act. I'd like for this fact to be noted in the official record of the meeting. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. We will begin with the Finance Committee this morning. Chairman Falcone, please.
Thank you, Chairman Holt. The first order of business is the approval of the previous committee meeting minutes from May 25, 2011 and June 30, 2011 meetings, which have already been distributed. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Friedkin, second by Commissioner Holt. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Before we get started, I want to mention we have a revised agenda today. The FY 2011 financial update portion of this item has been withdrawn in an effort to save time. So we'll go to committee item number one, update on TPWD progress in implementing the TPW Land and Water Resources Conservation and Recreation Plan. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have any official updates from the land and water plan that I'm going to report on this morning, but we'll certainly plan on it next meeting.
There is no water.
I couldn't resist.
Well said.
Yeah.
All right, so suspended until rain.
Yeah,
I like
right,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing, though, I do want to make sure the commission is apprised of, I think, is some of you are aware we were notified by Verizon, which has been our provider of the hunting and fishing license system, that they are discontinuing that line of business, so officially exiting that. They notify us that they're going to discontinue it. It'll be effective August of 2013. So basically, we have 2 years to find a new vendor then to handle the sale of our hunting and fishing licenses and handle it on the point of sale perspective. So we've got a team that is working on that right now, led by Gene, we've put out a request for offer to companies who want to bring proposals forward. We have a team that will evaluate those proposals, and then we'll invite a couple of finalists back to look at their system in more detail, and then ultimately make a decision on that. But 2 years seems like a lot of time. It's not. It's going to go very, very quickly, particularly when you think about a company having to come in and develop a new system from scratch. So we want to make this change as seamless on our license buyers as possible. And that's our highest priority, is just making sure our hunters and anglers out there don't see the change. And so we'll certainly keep you apprised of that process and our progress on it. But just want to let you know this is a big issue for us, and we'll report back to the commission as we go through it.
So are there plenty of suppliers and vendors?
There are a number. So a number of qualified vendors that we'll have a chance to let them compete. Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
At half the price. Right, Gene?
Yeah, right.
It's all negotiable.
Hey, yeah.
He's having too much fun.
I wonder why.
I'll make no more comments.
It's heat-related illness.
Yeah, right.
I think you're right. Yeah, heat stroke.
Committee item number two, financial overview, Mr. Mike Benson.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Mike Jensen, Director of Administrative Resources. This morning, we're going to just address those items that will require action tomorrow, at tomorrow's meeting. So that's why we removed the 2011 summary. I'd also like to recognize on the back row back here, Lance Goodrum, he's the Budget Accounting Director, Justin Halverson. At the last meeting, Commissioner Duggan, they were two of the guys in the gray suits. And they have two of their staff next to them who helped produce this presentation. They do a good job for the department. Today we're going to provide you a crosswalk to to the General Appropriation Act. That's the first bullet up there, the operating budget for 2012. We'll provide you a summary by divisions. We'll go real quickly over the capital budget, the allocation of employees, full-time equivalent employees, and the conservation account 5004 projects. Those are projects that are funded by the conservation license plates. And each year, the commission reviews the budget policy and the investment policy. And this year, we have a change to a legislative budget board performance measure. So tomorrow, y'all will approve a state parks list that will be part of that definition. So when we calculate it, that will be the base calculation. Every 2 years, they'll update that list. On this slide, it's kind of hard to read, but this kind of tracks where we're at from the appropriations bill to the 332.17 that we are asking you to approve tomorrow. The first line on there, the General Appropriations Act, Article 6, Parks and Wildlife Department falls within the Natural Resources section of the appropriation bill. That is Article 6. Articles 1 through 8 cover all state agencies and universities in Texas. We fall in 6. And Article 9 applies to all state agencies generally, but at the end of each legislative session, they will put some contingent provisions that are specific to agencies. So as we track down this, you'll see some items from Article 6 and 9. The second line up there, supplemental, is $7.1 million. That relates to Rider 27, which has the same number going into the next biennium as it does this year. That's the rider that allows the department to get additional appropriations for state park revenue and for license revenue. And that amount is 5.5 that we're seeking, Rider 27, and there's $1.6 million built in on that second line for state parks account, which relates to the opt-in provision when people register their vehicles with DMV.
In other words, that's what we have said we think we're going to earn from that.
That's what the legislature has estimated that we will collect on that. It's, I think the last two meetings we've talked about, we have concerns that we can achieve that or not, but that's what they've actually built into our budget. So if we do not collect that, that will have the effect of a budget cut for the department.
To us then.
Yes.
Okay.
The third line that we have on there is Article 9, and that's a provision primarily that $31.46 million is comprised of some general obligation bonds that were appropriated to us, $32.35 million. But we also had a net reduction for the IBM contract, the data center services. So that nets it to about $31.46 million, which is on the slide. We also had some special appropriations in the extended session, the special session. It had two pieces to that. One piece was for border security, and the second piece was additional appropriation authority for license plates. We have license plate authority for $288,000 for internal plates and an additional $78,500 for pass-through plates. On the border security piece...
Okay, well, before you leave that, what's the difference between an internal plate and a pass-through plate?
The internal plates are what we use for our divisions internally to do projects. When we get to some slides later, those are the projects that Wildlife Communications, Inland Fisheries do, those specific plates. We have...
After you get to it later.
I'll get to it. And the border security funding is $744,359. That's about $500,000 for an additional safe boat. And it's about $77,000 to equip that safe boat with weapons and ammunition and operating funds of $165,000. When we get into 2013, the operating funds will continue as well. We'll have approximately...
We get two boats.
Two boats. Safe boats. $501,000 for safe boats.
So that's a shootout down in Hidalgo County all of a sudden. Senator Ogden decided he wanted us to have big boats with big guns on them. Seriously, he came to us. Are you going to get the first one?
What are we looking at, Pete, in terms of the delivery on that?
Those two boats, Pete Flores, for the record, Peter Flores, Director of Law Enforcement. Those two vessels, upon our appropriation in September, will be ordered... in the first week of September, and they should arrive sometime in the early spring.
Well, should you get them both at the same time?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good.
March? Probably more like February.
Are you getting your captain's license?
Well, you know, we can drive anything. Just but the state-of-the-art vessels to add to our already increasing sailboat fleet, of which three vessels will be delivered in September for this year, all from federal funds. These vessels are totally from general revenue, which is a good deal.
So one will go at Falcon Lake, and then one will go in Hidalgo County.
Right.
So, yeah, that'll cover that area.
State-of-the-art vessels and operating, which we were appreciative.
All right.
Thank you.
The next section that you see up here on the slide is the supplemental adjustments where we add into the budget some federal funds, appropriated receipts, and interagency contracts. Federal funds is $9.36 million. It's about 17 different sources, but the top five sources account for about $9 million. It's sport fish restoration funds. We have recreational trail grant funds in there, wildlife funds, restoration, some NOAA funds, and some disaster grants that account for $9 million of that. Appropriated receipts is $830,000. It has about 10 different sources, including the NERDA money, the natural resource damage assessment funds, and we have some agreements with the Sabine River Authority, and we have some agreements out there with TxDOT Mitigation and WAFWA, which is the Western Association of Fish and Wildlife Associations. On interagency contracts, that $70,000 is primarily with the Water Development Board. They do collection of water quality samples along the coast. And one thing to note, the General Appropriation Act, when they make the bill, they do not appropriate fringe benefits for any state agency. So that's the primary difference between what is in the appropriation bill, this last line, the fringe benefits and benefits replacement pay. That's not in the bill. So if you go look into the big book when they publish it, you're not going to find a line for fringe. So the fringe benefits are $40.4 million. The total budget for 2012 will be $332.17 million. If you look at that by method of finance, and this pie graph includes the fringe, general obligation bonds, we have about $43.6 million. That makes 13% of the budget. That includes the Article 9, $32.35 million, plus an unexpended balance amount of almost 11.3 in prior issuance of bonds. Other GR dedicated, it's about $2.31 million, less than 1% of the budget. General revenue is $81 million, about 24% of the budget, and that's primarily sporting goods sales tax. It accounts for almost $37 million of that. Other funds, which is appropriated receipts and interagency contracts, is $10.87 million, or 3% of the budget. Federal funds is almost $49 million, 14% of the budget. Game fish water safety, account 9, it's about $105 million, which is almost 32% of the budget. And the state park account is $40.5 million, it's about 12.2% of the budget. One important thing to note before I go to the next slide is, if you look at what we had in 2011 for sporting goods sales tax, we actually had $66.5 million in our budget this year that we're closing down. As we move into the next one, next fiscal year, we only have $36.8 million. So that's a significant reduction, almost $30 million reduction right there.
How much do they collect and stick in an escrow account?
Well, so it's an estimate, Chairman, and the estimate that they collect around $125 million a year off that portion of the sales tax. It's attributable to those items. So I think Mike's point in this is a very significant method of finance change, and so I want to make sure that y'all are aware of that. And so it has pretty significant consequences for us and is a fairly significant departure in terms of fiscal policy from a couple of sessions ago. So important to note.
From the comptroller standpoint, they just do a calculation, and they really don't have a specific – they have a count out there after they do the calculation to decide what they will let us have, and they put that there. So it's not the full 90%.
But then the rest of it they use essentially account against deficit.
It's balancing the budget
and
the state
budget
as a whole. Yeah.
And this has been an issue – been there 8 years. It's the one thing we've not had no luck with. Sporting good tax was put in when, Gene? In the 90s?
93.
Have we ever gotten the full amount?
No, sir.
Okay. We'll provide you a summary by object of expense on this slide. And this will relate tomorrow when you look at Exhibit A. It kind of lays it out in a table, the budget by object of expense. It also provides the number of employees we're allowed to have. Salaries and other personnel costs will be $141.3 million. Operating is $69.5 million. Grants is $15 million. Out of that $15 million, most of that is really a pass-through to the general land office. A piece of sporting goods sales tax that comes in, $11.2 million will pass to general land office for coastal erosion projects. And in that grants, we also have $2.8 million of federal funds for recreational trail grants. The benefits fringe is $40.4 million. Capital budget is $58.48 million, and we have another slide that will touch on the detail of that. And the debt service is $7.31 million for a total of $332.17 million. You'll note that if we compare this to 11, the percentage by object of expense for each object is going to be higher in 12 except for capital, because that's where we took the biggest cut out of this last budget cut. If we do this by division, Administrative Resources Division has $8.3 million, Coastal Fisheries $17.1 million, Communications $8.3 million. Department-wide, we have a separate slide for the detail on that of $22.1 million. Executive Office $3 million, Human Resources $1.88 million, Information Technology $7.21 million, Infrastructure $6.6 million, Inland Fisheries $19 million, Law Enforcement $57.1 million, Legal $1 million, Local Parks $4 million, State Parks $83.1 million, Wildlife $26.3 million, Capital Construction $51.59 million, Information Technology Capital $4 million, and the General Land Office pass-through for coastal erosion projects is $11.23 million. Again, if we compare this to 2011, most of these percentages of the total per division will be slightly higher this year, primarily due to the significant cuts that took place to capital and to the sporting goods sales tax.
And what is the GLO transfer? Is that the pass-through?
That's the pass-through for coastal erosion projects. One of the breakout groups that we had in the divisional slides, it was a department-wide budget. And each commission meeting, we kind of walk you through what's in there. Just an important thing to note, the very last line is going to, you see it as red, so I probably already drew your attention to it. Given the budget cuts that we had to endure, last year we had a strategic reserve that the executive office managed of $1 million. When it came time to do budget cuts and reductions, the executive office used that $1 million to minimize the impact across the resource divisions and the operating divisions and all divisions. So we are pre-budgeting about $1 million of salary lapse. We have about approximately $5 million in salary lapse per fiscal year, so that there is some risk here, but it's not a risk that we cannot assume. It's just the nature of what we have from the legislature. So we're going to work with this very carefully early on in the year and manage our attrition, and we're probably going to delay division directors filling positions so that we build that salary lapse as quickly as we can and eliminate this deficit that's on this slide. Department-wide budget includes the debt service that's paid on the bonds of $7.3 million. We have payments to license agents for the Verizon system of $3.6 million. That's what it's going to be for this year and probably next year. As we go to a new vendor, that amount will probably increase. We have the license system of $3 million. We have some boating access funds of $3 million, some uncertified authority. That's related to Rider 27 of $2.85 million. When they passed the bill, Rider 27 allowed us to request from the comptroller certain funds for Fund 9 and 64. We have a request in for a small piece of 9 and for a larger piece of Fund 64. But this amount here, we do not believe at this time we'll be able to collect. This is primarily Fund 9 piece, $2.85 million. The next line is a brand new line. This legislative session, every state agency, not just Parks and Wildlife, has been asked to allocate a certain percentage, 1% of their budget, to support the employee retirement system. For us, that allocation is $1.31 million. And on the previous slides, that amount is also covered in the fringe benefits area. We have about $800,000 for State Office of Risk Management. That is the amounts that we pay for workers' compensation and other things that we do through SORM. Airport Commerce is the facilities that we have about 3 miles from here, where we have training and we have some other
State Parks and some other divisions with staff there. The rent on that is about $680,000. We have some pass-through plates that the executive office has discretion to pass through as we work with the divisions of about $290,000. The reason that's there is we have to wait on collection of receipts. As soon as we collect these receipts, the executive office will pass that out to the appropriate divisions for projects. And we have pass-through plates. It's a holding place until those other entities request their funds, and then we'll hand that out once it's collected. We have master lease payments of $70,000, and we already addressed the pre-budgeted salary lapse. Have one slide for the capital budget. If we walk across the first line, the 32.35, that is the Article 9, Section 18.01, General Obligation Bonds. I believe the next item up this morning is going to be Rich McMonagle. He'll probably give you some more information, some more details on that. We have an unexpended balance forward of 19.24. That is broken down by almost $11.3 million in prior issuance of bonds, $5.7 million in appropriated receipts, and about $1.5 million of federal funds, and $749,000 of Fund 9. I think it's important to note, in the past, the legislature has allowed us UB authority of almost $3.7 million of Fund 9. So as we move into this year, that's a significant reduction in UB authority. The second line on here is primarily state parks minor repairs, $2.77 million. And then we have the data center capital authority for $4 million. And we have the master lease purchase payments of about $70,000 each year. So the total amount is $58.48 million for capital.
Information technology. Is this a
data center project?
Yep. Another one of our favorites.
Certainly one of the ones that we are participating in.
And how is that? I mean, did anything get cleared up or resolved? I mean,
So DIR has put together a new governance model for the big statewide data center project, and so certainly we're participating in that. And so they are in the throes of looking for new vendors that can assume the various tasks that IBM originally had assumed by itself. And so right now we're still working with IBM as they're winding down things, and then also working with DIR as they're in the throes of looking for new vendors to help support that project. I think we've had maybe 10 to 12% of our servers move. Gene, is that about right?
Yeah.
Looking at George for, yeah. So we still have most of our servers that are still here, and so we'll be a ways out before that's fully consummated.
Did we get the money, though, we needed to cover the costs?
Well, we got appropriation authority to cover that, and then we take those funds in from Fund 9 and Fund 64 in order to cover those extra costs that we've had with the data center project. One of the things, as you'll recall, when we started the session, we asked for some additional flexibility to be able to handle the impact on our IT budget. And so the legislature granted us that. So all of those funds to pay for this aren't coming out of that IT budget. So we did get a little flexibility there.
Okay.
Well, we got flexibility to be able to move it from different parts of the agency to cover those costs.
So you got the flexibility, but you didn't get any extra dollars.
Well, we got the appropriation authority. So we're using the funds that we have. Gene, you want to add to that?
Yeah, because I think what I'm asking is, remember we had gotten two sessions ago or whatever, actually, when they first started this program, extra dollars to pay for the extra cost that it was going to be to us, because we ran our IT department efficiently. Can I say that?
Yes, sir, you can say that.
And remember, they gave us some extra dollars to then become part of the big picture. But what happened in 2011? No extra dollars, just flexibility to move dollars?
Gene McCarty, Deputy Executive Director. Those extra dollars that were given to us at the last session roll into our base. Okay, so that appropriation rolls forward. And we were originally appropriated at the base level. So those extra dollars were reappropriated to the agency. So we have the dollars to cover our need. They also, in the contract, the DIR contract, is something called COLA, cost of living adjustment. and which is basically an escalating cost to our services. The legislature did not fund the COLA, but we are still required to live by the contract. So basically, we're going to end up having to do one of two things. We're either going to have to pay more money, and it's going to have to come out of our operating, or we're going to have to reduce services.
Okay.
And so that's where we really kind of, in this particular session, where we kind of got into a pinch. They did fund our base, but they did not fund the COLA.
Fund the COLA. And they, is this true of all the agencies?
Yes, sir.
Okay. COLA, because inflation is so high, I assume that IBM gave us a pretty good number.
It's 400,000. And so, you know, I guess, yeah. But they've got an inflation increasing cost factor in the contract, but we don't have that in our appropriations.
Right. No, I understand. Yeah. They've got it in the contract, but we don't have the money.
Not
appropriated.
We don't have it directly appropriated.
No,
we're either going to have to take it out.
You've got to take it from someplace.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's about $470,000, the COLA. I'm on the first slide where we crosswalk with the Appropriation Act. That's why the Article 9 is less than the amount of the bonds, because that's being netted against the bonds.
Gotcha. Okay. But it's frustrating.
To your point, we had no choice. We had to make this conversion, even though we didn't think it was in our best interest. And B, ended up costing more than the DIR projected it would cost. And again, back to your point, we didn't get the funds to cover those extra costs, but we got the authority to take it from other funding.
That's correct.
Right?
Yeah, and the system's not working. I assume there's no agencies that I've talked to that are happy with it.
We're continuing to have service problems.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not living up to their service levels in any way.
Yeah. So far, it's been 100%.
As expected.
Well, no, I think the idea was, you know, they were trying to do the right thing, I think. They could never get it to work.
Well, I think originally when they thought about it, it was going to be a consolidation, and they were going to
and all
realize
the agencies
savings
would be part of it.
Right,
sure.
all the agencies. But I think it turned out to be a lot more complicated than what they envisioned, and
right.
So we've seen these problems. So hopefully with the new governance model and the rebidding it out to new vendors, it will take on parts of this contract. We can have a better focus, and most importantly from our end, we can have better service, which had been a huge issue for us. And also can have better cost ceilings. That's been the challenge for us, is the cost has just escalated with each passing year, and that's been a real source of difficulty for us. So George and his team are actively involved in working with DIR, and so we're certainly doing our part to participate here to help make the transition.
Thank you, Dan.
This next slide, it kind of crosswalks the number of employees that the legislature allows us to have in 12 compared to fiscal year 2011. The cap in 2011 was 3,175.3. If you look at the bill in 2012, it actually says 2,917.7, and that includes two FTEs from off-highway vehicles, the right of 36. And this number up here includes that. It also includes 60.3 FTEs related to Rider 27 for state parks to bring back those staff. And it includes 28.2 FTEs in Article 9, Section 18.2 related to law enforcement. So our actual cap in 12 is 3,006.2. It's a variance of almost 169, almost 170 positions compared to 11. Each year we tend to budget about 4% above the cap because we're planning on some attrition. And this year we're being a little more conservative. We're planning on attrition of 3.5%. So we pre-budgeted in 12 104 FTEs compared to 120.7 in fiscal year 2011. The next slide is going to be an action item for tomorrow. It's the conservation capital account. Historically, this account has been comprised of two components. It's been comprised of sporting goods sales tax. We have Parks and Wildlife Code, Section 11.043, that allows us to use that allocation for projects for the department. This fiscal year, we got no sporting goods sales tax allocation. So account 5004 for 2012 will be limited to license plate revenues. And it can only be spent on projects that you as the commission approve. That's what the next two or three slides will be. So in this account, 5004, the conservation capital account, we have funding available of $313,000 as of September 1. The legislature has given us additional authority of $288,000 provided we collect it. So our authority is $601,000 for 2012. There's a note on here I think many of you are aware of. At one point in time during the session, we thought we were going to be limited to 50% of the revenue collected. But in a special session, we're not limited anymore. We'll have authority up to this $288,000 amount, which is 100% projection.
And that's both for the plates that are internal to our funding as well as the plates that we're collecting funds and then passing through to partners like the Friends of Big Bend National Park or CCA and that kind of thing, Ducks Unlimited. So that's good.
In your commission books, there's going to be an Exhibit C that gives you additional detail on the projects, and tomorrow we'll ask you to approve that list of projects. Wildlife has their Wildlife Action Plan. They do TWIM software development. They have research projects for white-tailed deer, pronghorn sheep, mule deer, bighorn sheep. They use some of these funds for projects related to managed land deer permits and for habitat management publications in the harvest surveys. Communications gets a small allocation for marketing to encourage the public to continue to buy these specialty plates. Inland Fisheries uses some of the revenues for freshwater resource management, for fish stocking plans, habitat improvement plans, and research. And State Parks uses this, a piece of this for operational costs, utility supplies, travel. The goal that we have for the commission when you approve this is to limit or avoid using these funds for salaries, because it does create some problems when they come back for benefits proportional. Benefits proportional is where they look at where you're spending on salaries, and they come back from the comptroller, and there's a calculation, and we pay an allocation to the state, the comptroller, and to SORM.
So everything we're looking at is $313,000. We're stretching across a lot of different programs.
Yes, we have $313,000 right now because that's what the cash is on hand. But if we collect the additional $288,000, then it can be passed out. That's why we were on the department-wide slide. There was a piece sitting in department-wide. We have not collected those revenues, so we're not going to hand that out. That DWIDE amount is basically that's the appropriation authority until it's collected. The budget policy, it did not change from the prior year, so this slide is basically summarizing what the policy is. The commission is authorizing the executive director to execute the budget. Any budget adjustments of $250,000 or greater that don't involve bonds or federal funds require approval of the chair and the finance chair. Donations or gifts exceeding $500 are accepted on a monthly basis and are recognized at each commission meeting. And this commission has, I'm just reminding you, this commission has decided that funds are authorized for any use permitted by statute or rule. You're allowing the most flexibility possible to maximize the use of the funds. The next slide, we do have an investment policy. It has been revised, so when you see the Exhibit E, it is significantly different than what it was last year. The primary reason I want to give you some background as to why we had a policy in the first place, there's a state statute, the Public Funds Investment Act. Basically, that statute says if you deposit money outside the Treasury, you must appoint an investment officer and you have to adhere to some pretty strict reporting requirements. We do not have any funds deposited outside the Treasury. Currently, we only have two funds that have discretion to be outside the Treasury. One is the Texas Park Development Fund. The other is the Lifetime License Endowment Account. And the Park Development Fund is basically, it's a sinking fund to pay off some old bonds. And the Lifetime Endowment Account is related to the Lifetime License sales. Operation Game Thief, they operate according to the rules and policies set by the Operation Game Thief Committee. So the new policy, the changes, is basically to clarify that the intent is for all of our funds to be deposited with the Treasury. They'll be invested by the comptroller, either by the comptroller or by the Safekeeping Trust, which is managed by the comptroller. In the event that the commission desires funds, these two funds be deposited outside the Treasury. You will allow the Executive Director to designate an investment officer, and that investment officer will then ensure that we follow the Public Funds Investment Act with respect to training and reporting.
Mike, how quickly can this be changed if this commission were to decide to change that?
As soon as tomorrow, if you approve the language, if we need to change the language, we can do
no,
that.
I'm just saying, if the group wanted to hire an outside.
Oh, you mean to do that? That would require some a hearing and consensus.
Normal rulemaking.
Normal rulemaking.
Yeah.
No, that's not a rule. It's
just
it'd be an action item. They decide that they want to do that, then we'd have to follow the Public Funds Investment Act, appoint an investment officer, and follow the reporting requirements.
Ambright General Counsel, that's right.
But the only concern I would have is, given the downsizing that the department has, we really don't have a staff who's a specialist in investing. We have staff who are very good at analysis and projecting. We have planning analysis group that's probably a top-notch group in state that can do cash management analysis, and they probably do a good job, but that's not really what they were hired to do. To get the right skill set to invest a $22, $23 million portfolio, I'd want to make sure that we did it right. We'd take any advice and counsel that the commission would give us, but we do not really have staff within the department that does that primarily.
I'm not promoting it. I just want to make sure we had the flexibility to make prompt change if we decide we could do better with our own investment person.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because when you look at those two accounts, it's basically just the lifetime license endowment account, because the state park development is just a sinking fund to pay off old bonds, so there's not much money there. The state parks listing, this is an action item. The Legislative Budget Board has a number of performance measures. Every agency has them. We have key and non-key performance measures, and one of our measures is the number of state parks in operation. This is just to establish a baseline for their new definition. So the list that you have as Exhibit F lists 95 parks, and tomorrow we'll ask for your approval to use that as the baseline for this calculation for that performance measure. And tomorrow I will read this into the record for Chairman Falcone so he doesn't have to read this. This will be the recommended motion for tomorrow. And that concludes our presentation. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them.
Any other questions from any of the commission members? Thank you, Mike. Being no further discussion, I will place this item on the Thursday commission meeting agenda for public comment and action. Committee item number 3, fiscal year 2012-2013 General Obligation Bond Program. Rich McMahon.
Good morning, Chairman Falcone, Commissioners. My name is Rich McMonagle. I'm the Director of the Infrastructure Division. This morning, I will present a resolution for your action tomorrow authorizing us to request financing for the general obligation bonds that were appropriated by the 82nd legislature. Before I introduce that resolution, what I'd like to do very quickly is discuss our bond financing process, as well as the importance of these bonds. So moving on to slide 3, this is the process we use for bond funding. Early in the last session, the Parks and Wildlife leadership modified the request for capital construction to $32,350,000. The significance of that number is it represents one half of the recommendation by a 2008 legislatively directed park study that said that we should be reinvesting $64.7 million per biennium in repairs and maintenance for state parks. At the time that we submitted this request, we also submitted a list of projects to the Legislative Budget Board, which is Exhibit B to this item. This list is a product of a call for projects that we did last fall. Those projects were ranked using a prioritization model that was created to in response to a 2007 State Auditor's Office recommendation that we have such a prioritization model. The reason I mention that is that much has probably changed since the fall as we've changed needs and priorities. So we have gone back to the divisions and requested that they reprioritize the projects on not just that list, but the 160 projects that we have on the books right now. We're still a couple of weeks away from me being able to submit that list to the executive office. So what I'm telling you is that the list you have before you is probably about an 80% solution. It's more representative of the projects than the actual projects. And what I'm asking, what I'll be asking from you for tomorrow is to authorize us to request the financing. I'm not asking you at this point to be approving, to approve this list. Again, I will submit it to Mr. Smith and for his approval and notification of the commission. Once you direct us to do that, to request financing, our request goes to the Legislative Budget Board, who then forwards it on to the Texas Public Finance Authority, who determines the financing, and if they approve, the Texas Public Financing Authority then takes it before the Bond Review Board. So as we've talked about before, there are a number of steps in this process. In the best case, we will have our financing by the end of this calendar year, and we are striving to meet that calendar. Moving on to slide four is the importance of these projects. This is a graph of our projects remaining over time, and the yellow line represents our current projects. And I think this graph well demonstrates that the work that we've done over the last several years culminates in this coming biennium with the completion of nearly all of the projects that we have left. The dotted line, or the dashed line, excuse me, represents the 40 or so projects that we will add from this 12 and 13 bond projects. So you can certainly see how important getting this bond money has been. And we've talked in the past how important it is for us to get bond funding each and every session so that we can continue the momentum of repairs at all of our facilities. So I know Mr. Smith and members of the commission very clearly understood that and worked hard to get us those bonds, and it is appreciated. With that, I'll move to slide five, and this is the staff recommendation, which I will read to you tomorrow. Pending any questions, that completes my presentation.
Any questions, comments? Thank you very much.
We're talking about the bodies, good morning. We're trying to be fun.
Let me throw that out there.
You lucky guy.
There's no further discussion. I will place this item on the Thursday Commission meeting agenda.
I'm a good parent today, honestly. Let me see. I only dreamed about that. Had nightmares about that. Tell them 100 times in 8 years. Especially when our game has come in.
Yeah.
Chairman Holt, this committee has completed its business. Thank you.